Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Follow wherever I go. us through waters. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing. For you are with me, and you comfort me. Still water, you restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me, and you comfort me.
Lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, we're the giver of life. lift up our eyes to the giver of life. Lift up our eyes to the giver of life. Lift up our eyes to the giver of life. Lift up our eyes to the giver of life. You alone can rescue, you alone can save, you alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, let us out of death. You alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
Thank you, guys. Man, wasn't that wonderful this morning? Oh, just feels great to be able to gather together with our brothers and sisters to praise and to worship. And it's good to be back in the pulpit this morning. I needed that vacation I got there, and I am truly appreciative of it. I want to thank Mark for coming out last weekend and sharing with us and taking the time to meet with some of the students. Keep the elders and myself in prayer as we process on what we should proceed with in the future. Before we get too far into today's message, though, let's take a minute and let's just go to Jesus for some prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you, to lift up our hands and just call on you. Father, I ask that this morning, this message may be something that speaks to all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Father, and I pray that this morning that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, set my tongue on fire for your word and rejuvenate us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as we gather, I had a complete idea. I had a sermon for today, I was all excited for it, and then Friday morning, God changed it. So we're going a very different direction. The title has changed. This morning, the message is called Broken Hearts. And it is as Christians, and when we interact with the world around us, we represent God, we represent his promises to the world, and yet so often, we don't have a broken heart for the lost. When we interact with the world around us, you know, we're called to be a light to others. We're called to be a beacon. We're called to be an example. So often, though, it seems like we hide that light. In the beginning, when we first become saved, when we first walk into our faith, oftentimes we do it out of fear. We do it out of fear of saying the wrong thing or not having the right words and that we're going to make mistakes and we might push someone away because we didn't know exactly what we're doing. And as it continues, we also get scared and we're worried that we might be judged by our peer group and our friends and our family or people who don't know Jesus are going to look at us differently because of it. And we're scared we'll be judged. Let's be honest, the world around us loves the idea of Jesus, the idea of this loving God and so forth. They get excited for it. But if we become serious about Jesus and we start taking the word of God seriously, the world doesn't like that too much. They push back. They don't want it. Instead, they'll tell you to keep your faith to yourself. You shouldn't take him so seriously. And after a while of the world pushing back against us, after a while of the world shutting us down and saying, no, you can't do that, it starts becoming second nature for us not to share the gospel. Instead, it should be second nature for us to share the gospel to the lost and the hurting around us. They want us to just slowly stay quiet to the side. And we start hiding our faith. We start holding back from sharing the good news that is Jesus. Instead, we should be proclaiming the gospel with everyone and anyone that we see. It shouldn't matter who we run into or who's around us or who might hear us. We should be proclaiming the gospel message to everyone. We have a fallen and hurting world around us. and they have nowhere to turn in the moments of their hard times and good times. And they don't have anything because they don't know Jesus, and they have no real hope to cling to. They have no real desire to hold on to. When the world gets tough, they don't know what to do. That's a problem. Because you and I, we know what to do. We know where to turn to. But yet, we're so programmed to keep it to ourselves that the world doesn't know what the next steps are. You know, we talk to people about God, and we talk about his promises and the hope that can be found in him. How many of you have ever told somebody that there is hope in Jesus? I know I have. I'm sure many of you guys have. You got friends and family in a difficult position. So you turn around and you start proclaiming this hope that can be found in Jesus. But it can be very hard for them to see this hope. It can be very hard for them to see these promises that God has laid out. Because, it can be very hard for them to believe that God wants any of that for them in their lives. But think about it. We live in a world today where people often break their promises. We're telling them about these promises that God has. We're telling them about everything that God wants to do for their lives. Yet, in the world we live in, is full of broken promises. People break their promises all the time. They break their vows. Look at marriages in America. Two people get in front of their friends, their family. They get in front of God, and they make this vow to each other to forsake all others. But did you know over half, not quite half, but almost half of marriages today end in divorce? There seems to be this idea that we will keep these promises in our culture. You keep that promise until something better comes along. And then you can break that promise because that looks better over here. The grass is greener. This next generation coming up is even more leery of marriage than the generation before. We see people putting off marriage until much later in life. They have seen what their parents went through. They've seen the brokenness of the homes. They have seen the problems that can come up. And they grew up with it, and they don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to experience that heartbreak. They want to avoid it. They've seen their mom or dad cry at night because of everything that happened. They don't want to go down that road. We have trust issues in our culture. No one seems to trust anyone anymore. Another issue we run into is the onset of social media and smartphones. We have the ability to fact check people in real life. And that can be handy, but it's not always the best thing. We're always fact checking each other. Have you ever had someone Google something that you just gave them an answer to? Just because they wanted to make sure that you were right or to prove you wrong. Have you ever done that to someone else yourself? Why? Because you didn't like the answer you received. And that's same with the world. And I'm going to tell you right now that whatever answer you want, you will find on the internet, whether it's correct or not, you will have somebody who will be in agreements with you that you can show everybody, see, I was right. And besides, if it's on the internet, we know that it's true. There's another term in our world today, and I'm sure all of you have heard it at least at some point. It's called fake news. It feels like it's been around forever, but it's really a fairly new term on the way it is used. The funniest part about this term is you can watch two different news sources about the same story and get two very different stories out of it. You know, trying to work around which one is telling the truth is a task in and of itself. The truth normally lies somewhere in the middle of the two sides. On top of that, on top of news, we live in a world where truth is no longer about facts. Truth is no longer about facts. Truth is considered relative. See, there's no longer an absolute truth within our society. So what does that mean? It means that what you see as truth and what you call truth may no longer be true for someone else. Everyone is living in their own little truth bubble. The problem is, that's not how life works. There is truth, and then there's opinions. Opinions may differ, but facts are facts. You don't get to change the facts to match your opinion. Same as we don't get to change the Bible to match our sin. With truth being so relative, it's no wonder people don't trust each other anymore. It's no wonder why people no longer believe or trust promises they hear. See, as Christians, we go out and we spread the gospel of Jesus. We need to know that these are problems that we're going to run into. We have a hard time, people have a hard time believing and trusting the words that we share with them. You know, society around us doesn't care what we know until they know that we care. I want you to think about that again. They don't care what we know until they know that we care. We can sit here, we can preach the gospel message over and over again. We can tell the world that the truth, and we can tell them how much Jesus loves them. We can talk about God's love and how he loves them deeply. We can talk about that God is always good and he's faithful. We can even share that he's a kind and compassionate God. We can let them know that God designed them for a purpose, that he can bring them an abundance of joy in their life like they've never experienced before. We can sit there and tell them that there's hope and that his hope that he delivers is overflowing, that God will strengthen them and he will give them a new life and a better life and a joyous life. We can tell them the wisdom that God gives us and the abundance of life that he gives us. We can tell them that God has this amazing plan for them and that God can be trusted, and we can tell them so much more. And God is telling all of us those things. Yet the world has a hard time believing any of it around them. It sounds too good to be true. And with the world that we live in, where trust and promises are broken so often, when they hear this, they just can't take it in. And on top of that, the world has never experienced anything like this in their own life. When you've gone your whole life hearing and seeing something different, it becomes hard to believe something like that is possible. That God would want to do any of that for them, no one else ever has. Why would they believe God wants to do it when no one else has ever done that? Nobody else has ever cared enough to step up to them. The world around them has done nothing but show them heartache and pain. And now you're promising something different? I want you to think about this for a minute. As a little caveat to all of this, what's another word that we call God? We call him good father, right? We call God good father so often. We even sing a song, good, good father. He is our father in heaven that loves us and he cares for us and he wants what's good for us. He wants for us to live the abundant life. Yet when we live in a world today, that when we say good father, there is many people within it who have a very hard time understanding what we're talking about. You see, they don't understand what it means to have a good father. They never had a good father in their real life. The only thing they have for experience when it comes to a father is someone who beat them, someone who ridiculed them. The only father they have known constantly let them down and told them they weren't good enough, or the father was never there. So telling them that God is their heavenly father and he wants all these amazing things for their lives, why would they want to hear it? Their idea of a father is not a positive one. It's not something that they look to as an example. Let alone the idea of a father that gives them promises of good things is just unfathomable in their mind. The world around us hears promises every day. They hear their friends and their family make promises all the time. They see their friends and their family never keeping these promises. They see politicians and leaders within the community making promises, yet never keeping a single one of them. They even see Christians they interact with making promises and never following through. Why would God's promises be any different? How could they trust God's word if nothing else they have experienced gives them a basis to work off of? So when someone approaches them and tells them about the promises of God and the good father and all that stuff has for their lives, they're skeptical because they've never seen it modeled in their life. They've never been given an example of any of this. Earlier I mentioned some of God's promises, and we can read about them. They are found throughout the Bible. We can show others what the scriptures and the locations that God's promises are, and if you want a list, I can get you a long list. It's in my office. But until we take the steps to show others, not just in our words, but in our actions, many will struggle to believe. One of the ways that God works through the world is through each of us who call ourselves Christian. Each of us who claim that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we get to partner with God in the mission field and be in the hands and feet of Jesus. We talk about the love that God has for us. Did you know that Jesus never explicitly went up to someone and just said, "I love you, man"? He didn't go up to his disciples like, "Hey, guys, I love you guys." At least not recorded in the scripture. He may have said it, that it didn't get written down. However, time and time again, Jesus showed his love through his actions, through what he did. He explains this in John 15, 9, "As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love." As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. See, as God the Father loved Jesus, his son, he did that exact same love onto us. Jesus wasn't just using his words and telling people he loved them. He did it through all of his actions in the world around them, through healing the sick, through reaching out to the poor, by sitting and eating with sinners. He didn't care about what a person's background was or where they were from. He showed up. He showed God's love for everyone he ran into. Jesus would have been the guy who would have gone down to the bar and had a burger with the drunk sitting next to him. He got close and personal with people with his time here on earth. He broke bread with sinners. He stayed in their homes. He washed their feet. He ate meals with people. He loved on people. He didn't throw them a handout, give them money, and pat them on the back and simply go about his life. No, what did he do? He invested in the people themselves. He loved on them. He truly showed them that they were loved and that they mattered. So what does that mean for us as believers? If the literal meaning of Christian is a follower of Christ, should we not follow his example? It's easy to tell someone you love them. It's really easy to do it. It takes about 2 seconds, sometimes even a little bit less than that. "I love you." That's about 2 seconds. But to actually show them your love in your actions, that's difficult, right? That's a difficult position to be in. Yet we're called to become more like Christ each and every day. We're called to live a life that brings honor and glory to God himself. Just like when we love others, we show Christ's love to them. When we become the hands and feet of Jesus, when we start playing our role in the body of Christ, showing his love in our actions and not just our words, the world sees that. This is one of the ways in which God reaches the lost for himself. It's through each of us. It's one of the ways that God reveals his truth and promises to the world around us. He works through us. We get to be part of it here on earth. Yet we often make excuses on why we can't do it. We feel we're not good enough. We feel we don't know the words. We feel we're not equipped to do it. And we're just such a small part of the body that I don't play an important enough role. And that's not the truth at all. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 tells us, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body through many are one body, so also is Christ. For we are all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we all are given one spirit to drink." What Paul is pointing out here is that we make up the body of Christ together. We are made to work together, not individually. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're young or old. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter. All together we work as the body of Christ. And we all have a very important role to play. Don't ever underestimate the role and the calling that God has on your life, no matter where you're at, no matter your age, no matter what's going on. No one is more or less important than the other. It tells us in verses 15 through 19, "If the foot should say, 'Become, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' is it not for that reason any less part of the body?" In verse 16, it says, "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for this reason any less part of the body." Verse 17 says, "If the whole body were an eye, Where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted. And if they are all the same part, where would the body be? What Paul's pointing out is each of us play a role to reach the lost around us. Each of us have a job to reach out to our neighbors, to our friends, our coworkers, to be that example of Christ, to proclaim God's promises to every person that we see, to share the hope that is in Christ alone. That hope that you've gotten to experience in your life because you have gamed through with it. And I'm going to tell you a little something this morning too. If you yourself have never, if you were blessed enough to grow up in a church family where they brought you to church every Sunday and you've never known a life without Christ, you are blessed. For those people who don't know, and who don't know Jesus and got later introduced to them, they had to go their first 20, their 30, their 40, or even 50 years without knowing Christ, stumbling around in the world blinded, and they don't know which direction to turn because somebody was unwilling to share the gospel of Jesus with them. Can you imagine being that person of not knowing the full truth? I've had people like that that I've ran into that have spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years of their life. I know a man that was 75 years old before he came to Christ because nobody actually was willing to sit down with him and share the gospel message with him because everybody thought, yeah, he just likes his own opinion. It wasn't until someone was willing to stand up and be bold for Christ that the gospel was proclaimed to him and that he became our brother in Christ. And thank God he did. 6 months after that, he passed away. Can you imagine if somebody wouldn't have done that for him? Where would he be at today? He wouldn't be in heaven rejoicing. And what a sad thing that would be. How many Christians did he have in his life? How many Christians did not proclaim the gospel to him? You know, we live in a society where we're encouraged to look out for ourselves. We never go out of our way for anyone and only love those who loved us first. But that's not what Jesus says. We're to love those even if they don't love us. But we do it where they have to love us first. It mentally goes against how Jesus lived and undermines the impact that we can have as Christians in our community today. This mentality has gotten mixed into our churches and our theology. It has changed the way that we perceive love. Like if we're not receiving the love ourselves, we don't need to show it is our idea. But that's not how it works. We are such a blessed people, covered in grace and mercy, and saved by the greatest act of love ever known to mankind. And that is Jesus' willingness to go to the cross for each of us, simply because Christ chose to love us first, to show God's promises through his actions. We should love others simply because Christ loved us, not for personal gain, not for a pat on our back. That means understanding that God has given you everything you need to do his work. He has given you all the resources, all the time, everything that you need. And these things that he's given you are not just for your benefit. Your time, your energy, and even your money are gifts to you from God, and you are to use them for his glory. Are you using them to actively love people and provide for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you using them to reach out to the lost and the hurting inside of our community? This means loving people enough to not just say, I will pray for you, but stop right in the middle of what you're doing and pray with them in person right then and there. It means rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty. This means spending time with the broken in our world, the outcast, and the rejected. This means humbling yourself to the point of being a servant and putting others before yourself. And that can be a hard thing to do, is when you start putting other people before yourself, especially those who may not love you the way that we're called to love them. It is time for the church and the body of Christ to embrace servitude that we're all called to. I don't say all of this morning because I'm trying to be harsh or critical or anything like that. I know a lot of you guys do some wonderful things, but there's still room for all of us to be encouraged and to grow, including myself, striving for a higher standard for the calling that God has placed on our lives. We're not called to just come to church on a Sunday morning for an hour to sit here in our pews and drop off our 10% and the offering plates in the back and then turn around and go about the rest of our lives of the week unbothered. Don't get me wrong, it's important for us to gather together. This is where we encourage each other, where we lift each other up, where we spend time in His Word in corporate worship setting, and it's important that we do that, but that's not the only thing we're called to do. But what about the people around the church? What about your neighbors, your friends, your families? Where are they getting encouragement from? Where are they learning about God? Where are they finding their hope? I'm going to tell you today that if you aren't showing them the way to God, if you're not showing them the path that God has called them to, the world is showing them the wrong way. So you've got an option. You can either tell your friends and family about Jesus, you can show them the Word of God, you can show them the promises that He has for you, or you can let the world take over and lead them in a different direction. That's your decision. But I can assure you the world will gladly do it if you don't. When was the last time you took a friend you don't know very well out for coffee? Just to get to know them better. When was the last time you invited the neighbor down the street over for dinner? When was the last time you looked out for the outcast, the quiet, the overlooked in our community? Looked out for the ones at your job? When was the last time to be intentional to build a relationship with someone? Just as Jesus was. When was that last time you took that extra step and made that new friend just like Jesus did? You know, find that young family who just had their first, maybe their third or even fifth child. See if they need help with anything. Check on the widow down the street that just lost her husband. Build that relationship with them. Pray with them. Become the hands and feet of Jesus. Let God's grace show through everything you do. See how much our community starts to change when we decide that our church is not just in this building, but it's the community around us. It's our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers. You know, our own community around us is hurting. How many of you are aware of some of the problems that are within our own community? We have split homes. We have kids who don't have adults at home in the evening because mom and dad got to be at work to make sure that there's at least some money there to pay the bills, so they have to fend for themselves, make their own dinners, and do all of that. Did you guys know we have kids in our community that have to do that every night? We have people in our community who don't have enough to eat. We have people who struggle with being alone all the time. We have people who can't pay their bills. We have single moms and dads that feel like they're alone because there's no one else around to help them with their kids, but they're striving and they're trying to do the best, that could just use that shoulder to either cry on or talk to or someplace like that. Church, it's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus again. To become that beacon on the hill that reaches out to the community around us. It's time to let our hearts break for the loss. Has your heart gotten so hard that when you see somebody who's struggling, you can look the other way and not give it a second thought? Has your heart become so hard that you see the least of these out there and you are completely unbothered by it? If your heart doesn't break for the lost and hurting around you, ask God to see the world the way that He sees it. Ask God to start seeing people the way that He sees them. Ask God to break your heart for the lost in our community.
Right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity that we had to come together as a body of believers and not just worship and talk about a sermon, but also pray together. And Father, that we got to join together in remembrance of what your Son did up on that cross, and that we got to take communion with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I pray that we may be on fire as we walk out this morning, and that we may have a new desire to reach the lost in our community that are hurting. May we remember that the gift that your Son gave up on that cross is not just for us,
but it is for the world around us, and that we may show the world where they can find peace, joy, and love, an abundance of it like they've never experienced before. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go out this week, may you search for the lost in your life. May you search for those who don't know Jesus and be that example that we are called to be. It may be a little uncomfortable at first, but God is right there with you. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.